Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, student life, and today, business. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Terry Maness. He joined the Baylor faculty in 1977 and was named Dean of Baylor's Handkammer School of Business in 1997. Under his leadership, the Handkammer School of Business has grown to more than 4,100 students in 20 major areas of study. It's been recognized among the top business programs in the country, expanded graduate opportunities beyond campus, and moved into a stunning new home, the Paul L. Foster Campus for Business and Innovation. In 2016, he was elected to serve a three-year term on the board of the AACSB, the Association to Advance College Schools of Business International. Dean Maness, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Derek. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's go back a little bit here. You hired President Livingstone to join the Handkammer School of Business faculty long before being president of this university was a gleam in anyone's eye. So tell us a little bit, what's she really like? What are your memories of her going back to when she came on as a new faculty member?
Well, she joined the faculty in the business school in 1991. As her first academic appointment, having finished her PhD in organizational behavior from Oklahoma State. And I was serving as department chair in finance, so she was not in my department, but clearly got to know her during those early years while she was here. And she was noted as one who was really exhibiting strong teaching skills, strong research and scholarship skills, but also just a people person, too. And so she received tenure right before I became dean. And I became dean or appointed dean in 1997. And about a year after that, I had an opportunity to fill in a leadership position for my associate dean for graduate programs. And having known her, gotten to know her, and because of her leadership skills, asked her to serve just really a year after receiving tenure. So was glad that she accepted my offer to join the leadership team in the Handkammer School of Business and served us well for 4 years. And when she came to me saying that she was looking at she was being sought after by Pepperdine, I really encouraged her. Although I didn't want to lose her, I'm one who is more interested about people building their careers and letting things really the chips fall where they may. And sure enough, just a few years later, she had an opportunity to come back.
Yeah, what were your thoughts when you found out about her coming back to Baylor?
Yeah, she. You mentioned I joined the board at AACSB recently, and she was already on the board and actually served in a leadership role as chair of the board for two terms. And so she certainly had made herself known in our accrediting agency, which is a global accrediting agency. And so I was thrilled to have her join the Baylor faculty and come back home.
We know, obviously, her time at Handkammer helped spur her leadership, her career in higher education leadership. But when you think about the Handkammer School of Business, you know, you think about that leadership aspect, creating leaders, not simply careers. And you're doing so in an industry that's ever-changing. The most visible sign of you growing along, changing, is the Paul L. Foster Campus for Business and Innovation. Opened 2.5 years ago, it's a stunning home. What sort of impact has that had in the last couple of years on the Handkammer School of Business?
Well, Derek, really, that process started, what ended up being the Foster Campus, started in 2005. When I and other leaders, the rest of the leadership at the business school, began to realize we need to start planning for future expansion space. It's not only really space that we needed, it was a different kind of space. Learning and the learning environment had been changing even before 2005, but certainly we were well aware that we didn't really have the kinds of learning. We had teaching spaces, but we didn't really have what I'd call learning spaces. And yet the footprint that was there, the Cashin and the Handkammer building, while they served us well up to that point, really began to put some limitation on us. And so we had an opportunity from ground zero to really begin to think about what's the learning space looks like that could really encourage the development of future leaders and people with critical thinking skills and collaborative skills. And we actually, within the Cashin building, actually began to experiment on the first floor of the Cashin building with some new learning spaces as a prototype of what ended up being over in the Foster campus. So we had that. We had an opportunity to experiment, but we just didn't have enough room to pull it out throughout the entire complex. What impressed me is we ended up being able to design, fund, and build that Foster campus. What impressed me was something just even last week, as recent as last week, several of us were up at the AT&T headquarters, and we had a luncheon that I spoke at, but we also had a chance to tour some of their facilities. And as we toured through to see what their employees, the kind of working spaces that they had, really confirmed, I think, our ideas that now our students, by the kind of collaborative spaces that we have, can move right into that corporate environment and really not miss a beat because they're learning in an environment that they will be working in. The same thing is true. We were down last year at ExxonMobil in their new headquarters in the Woodlands. Very collaborative, open spaces. And our students would be very comfortable moving into the kind of work environments that they will find upon graduation.
What does that look like when you talk about collaborative spaces and learning spaces, not just teaching spaces?
Yeah. Well, when we began to visit with our architect, there were five or six themes that we laid out early on in the design phase. We told the architect that we wanted to build community. Because the Handcamera Cashin complex was built when it was, that was when most of the learning went on inside the classroom, and that had been changing. What we didn't have is we didn't have those collaborative spaces in the Handcamera Cashin building. So we really were lacking developing a culture for our business students while they were there, a culture of collaboration. They'd have to find collaborative spaces elsewhere. So in the design phase, we asked them, we asked the architect to consider, number one, we want to build community among our business students. Secondly, we want to provide them collaborative spaces to work outside the classroom. So much of their work is going on with team exercises and projects where they just need to bring two, three, or six students together in effective learning spaces and collaborative spaces. And so that was very important. So community, collaboration. We were very interested in building ethics into the space. How do you build ethics into four walls? Well, it's sustainability. It's stewardship. It's taking care of the resources that are there and treating things in an ethical manner.
Building's LEED certified.
It's LEED certified, and one of the goals that I laid out with our architect is I was shooting for LEED Gold certification, which we achieved. And the good thing is we chose an architect that was very sensitive to that. So the use of artificial light, LED lighting, was very important. But even more important than LED lighting was the use of natural lighting in an energy-efficient way. We also, sustainability, collaboration, community, we were also very interested in trying to give a sense of globalization. And so when you walk in, it's while the facade of the Foster campus blends neatly into the overall architectural theme of the campus, when you walk in, you really get more of a global corporate feel. Also, we designed in conference space. To bring the world to the Foster campus and the world to our students as well. So, again, that globalization. Matter of fact, this week after spring break will be our McBride Global Business Conference that will be on artificial intelligence. And so, again, that. Final, we wanted to design in storytelling. We wanted our students to know who our alums are, particularly those that helped – support and build the Foster campus. So digital screens were very important to us in terms of communication to the students. And in our atrium, which is our community building space, the stories are told of those alums who made a significant contribution to the Foster. So those are really the design themes that really were very fundamental to the design of the Foster campus.
You mentioned earlier, you know, that space to bring in people to interact with the students from outside of campus, and you mentioned talking to executives, visited ExxonMobil and AT&T. I know partnerships with companies, top companies around the world, has been a real hallmark of the hand camera experience for students, actually getting to interact with some of the top executives in the world. What role has that played in shaping the experience for students at hand camera? Just how important is that in the grand scheme of what you offer to students?
Well, again, it comes back to connections, and which I think is part very very much an important part of the educational process for students in professional schools like business. I would say a real fundamental part of that would come out of our advisory boards. I know the hand camera advisory board, the one that I work with directly, was very instrumental as we were talking through the design of the Foster campus, as we were talking through funding the Foster campus, just as importantly as we're talking with them about curriculum and keeping up to date with curriculum and getting ahead of what's important for our business students to engage in. So things like data analytics, they've been very engaged with us in terms of as we've developed not only core curriculum in data analytics, but also certificate programs that allow all students to have some expertise in this important area of analytics and how you use data in today's world. We also have programs themselves that have advisory boards. Our professional sales program and our sports marketing program, our sports sponsorship and sales program, all have advisory boards that really directly work with the students and also help shape curriculum as you go forward. We also have an investment practicum where we invest real dollars in a portfolio. Again, there are investment advisors that are part of that program that students can reach out to as they're investigating different industry sectors and bounce ideas off of them. So, again, I think program after program after program are examples where we really do connect our students with industry representatives, and they influence us in terms of how we create that learning environment for the students.
This is Baylor Connections on 103.3 KWBU-FM. We are visiting today with Dean Terry Maness, longtime dean of Baylor's Hand Camera School of Business. And Dean Maness, could you give us a little bit of an overview? You've mentioned a few of the programs, whether it's marketing, sports sales, and sponsorships. Just a little bit of the overview of pretty vast offerings that you offer. Yeah.
Well, we do. I think you had mentioned earlier that at the undergrad level, we have really about 20 different areas of study. If I really focused on the top five of those, probably the most popular majors that we offer, I'd start off with accounting, marketing, finance, entrepreneurship, and MIS are really the largest of our majors, and those are the five largest of the 20 that we offer. So students, though, have a wide choice. But those are some of the more popular majors that we offer. We also offer what I'd call distinctive programs, kind of unique programs. And I had already mentioned our investment program, the investment practicum, where students manage basically a portfolio of about $7 million of real money. They make the decisions in it. So our finance majors, but also some of our accounting majors will gravitate into that course just to get that exposure of making real decisions. I will put in a plug for that program. The donor that helped us really start that program, his passion, he had two passions. It was athletics and business. And he came to me. He was on my advisory board.
Phil Dorr.
And he came to me and said, Terry, I want to help the business school, but I'm trying to figure out how I can also help athletics. And he said, I finally have come up with an idea. He said, he knew me when I was department chair of the finance, insurance, real estate department. He said, Terry, I know that you wanted to have an investment fund when you were department chair, and that never happened. But he said, now as dean, I really want to help you create that type of experience for our students. So he started a matching program for donors, and we were able to build that up through a number of investments that he initiated, and it's now about $7 million.
Wow.
But where that linked in with him was he said, that's going to help our business students learn how to invest money. But at the same time, once that fund gets large enough, which it is now, we'll be able to, out of the earnings, we'll be able to give scholarships back to the athletic program.
And
I can help the athletic program. So, again, that's an example, I think, of dedicated alums who are there, who partner with us, are involved with us on our advisory boards, but then also partner with us to help enrich the learning experiences for our students. That's one program. Our Baylor Angel Network is another distinctive program where we have student analysts that actually interact with entrepreneurs bringing proposals to the Angel Network. The Angel Network is a group of 50 to 60 investors, Baylor-connected investors, and those investors are looking to make – this is not donations. These are in investment funds that they're going to invest in early-stage startups. And so our students are actually able to interact with the investors along with the entrepreneurs and help organize the meeting. We just had the Angel Network, their quarterly meeting on campus on Thursday and Friday of this past week, where we had four entrepreneurial ventures making pitches to the investment community or our group of angel investors. So our students get to interact in real time with real entrepreneurs and real investors. Our MBA healthcare program is another one where we engage students within the industry. The MBA is an important ingredient to successful hospital administration, understanding the finance, accounting, marketing aspects, the business operation of running a successful healthcare facility. So they learn the mechanics and the analytics in our MBA core, but then they have a seven-month residency out in a healthcare facility that adds the practical application of that to a specific industry. So when we have distinctive programs like that that build upon more of your traditional kinds of educational opportunities, I think it's just a very enriching opportunity. So students who look at Baylor for their business education not only can choose from the traditional kinds of majors, but they also have the opportunity to have very distinctive programs that they can choose from.
You mentioned MBA and Dean Majors. We've got just a couple of minutes here, but I want to ask you about that aspect because it seems like there's a lot of demand for that. You offer traditional MBA on campus where students take a full-time class load, but then you talk about the EMBA program for executives, Dallas and Austin, online. You know, there's a demand to create offerings that fit busy people's mm-hmm. schedules. What are the trends you're seeing there as things go, you know, more digital, more online?
Let me give you a few trends. Number one, we do have our full-time MBA program that students can choose. I'd add to that, along with our full-time MBA program, we also have joint programs with other master's programs on campus through our MBA. So we have a joint MBA social work program. We have a joint MBA seminary program with Truett Seminary, and we also have a joint MBA JD with the law school. And I mention that because I think a part of really what's changing in education today is students want that diversity. They want to cross boundaries. They want to get outside the comfort zone. And I think this has been great for those students in seminary or the other schools that I mentioned. It's been great for them to hear the perspective of our business students, but even just as richly, our business students get to hear perspectives from other people in other programs as well. So I think that's one aspect of what's been going on. The second one is, and then our healthcare program would be a specialization that is important. The other thing, though, is really the impact of technology. And our EMBA and our EMBA programs in Austin and Dallas really are catering to a different market than those full-time students. These are people that have been out. They've established their business career, but they want more. They want to advance it to the next level. And we serve in this of lifelong learning. This is sort of a milestone in their career. They've not plateaued necessarily, but they've reached that point where they're looking for more. And so we offer that as well. And what's changing with technology is while those candidates in those programs have busy life schedules, we're trying to cater to that through the use of technology, but also at the same time give them that face-to-face experience. So we're experimenting in those programs with some what I'd call hybrid programs, where part of that educational experience is online and the other part of it is there on campus interacting in a networking fashion. And then finally, our latest offering has been our online, purely online MBA program that really caters to those people who say, hey, I can't break away, and I'm in a particular job position where I don't have the flexibility to come in on a weekend or I can't spend the evenings during a week. I need to do it on my time. And so I think, Derek, what we're finding out and I think what people realize is there's a plethora of different scheduling or sectors out there that different segments of the population are looking for different ways to further their education. And so the online really caters to one segment of that population, the people who can pull away but are also looking for some flexibility. That's where the EMBA is coming in. And those people who are earlier in their career that can pull away and go full time have other opportunities as well.
Well, Dean Manus, I wish we had more time, but we are rapidly running out of time. But I really appreciate you joining us on the program today.
Derek, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always good to talk about, I think, the great things that our faculty and staff are doing at the Handkammer School of Business.
Terry Manus, Dean of the Handkammer School of Business at Baylor University. This has been Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us. A reminder, you can hear this and other Baylor Connections each week at baylor.edu/connections or, of course, each week on the air, KWBU-FM, Waco.